Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is your moment. Your time to shine. Your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to Ethnically Ambiguous, a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hello, Anna.
Hi, Shireen. How are you?
I'm here. Okay, so this is an episode of Ethnically Ambiguous. Surprise, surprise. Today, we talked to someone so special and interesting. I can't wait for y'all to meet her. Anna, do you want to do the honors?
Yeah, we are joined by one of our Next Up fellows whose new show, When You're Invisible, is out now on iHeart and wherever you get your podcasts. Linked in description, so there's no reason you shouldn't be listening to it. They are an actor, writer, producer, director, everything you can be, all around creative. We are joined by Maria Diaz.
Yeah. Hey, y'all.
There she is. It's a lovely conversation. I think y'all will enjoy it, so stay tuned.
Who are we? Where do we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born?
We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Cool. We're starting the podcast. Hello.
Hello, Shane.
Hey. Hello. This is Ethnically Ambiguous. You might have heard her giggle in the background, so there's no use in pretending she's not here. We have a guest today that I'm excited to get to know. But Anna, do you want to do the honor of introducing her? You know her a little better.
Yes. So our guest today is another one of our Next Up fellows. I've known her now for a year and a half. I don't know. Time is crazy. Yeah, I mean, probably interviewed you in like June or July of last year. So yeah,
wow.
Their show just dropped on iHeart. It's called When You're Invisible. We'll talk about it more in a little bit. But yeah, we are joined by actor, podcaster, all around creative Maria Diaz. Welcome.
Hey.
Hello.
Thanks. I'm so psyched.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I guess we can just start here. Then I can like jump backwards in a second. But actually, no, I don't want to. I'll get to Next Up later. I'm going to adjust the timeline. Let's rewind. Where are you? Where did you grow up and where were you born?
Yeah. So I was born in upstate New York in a small little town called Ithaca, which is where Cornell and Ithaca College are. Mm. And I grew up there till I was 7, and then I moved to the Twin Cities in Minnesota.
Oh.
And then we moved within the Twin Cities like 3 times. And then I went away for college back to the East Coast to New York City. And that's where I was for most of my adult life until recently.
New York City?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you consider yourself a New Yorker?
Yes. I hit my 10 year like this past year. It's kind of crazy.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
But you left New York, I'm assuming, right? Or are you still kind of all, like in between places?
Mm-hmm. Kind of all over the place. So basically, it felt like a very interesting, it was a really interesting process. Like being in New York, that's mostly been my home base for the past 10 years. And then this past year, right when I hit 10, I like moved out of my apartment because my lease was up. Mm-hmm. And it was just like an old place. And it was one of those times where it was just time. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I went to LA. And then I was in Mexico, which is where my family is. And then I've been bouncing around between New York and Georgia and a little bit of LA right now. So, yeah. So that's the recent move.
Wow. Is it weird not having how are you adjusting to like the more like nomadic like lifestyle? Is it like natural for you or is it kind of hard to be all over the place?
It can be hard. There's times where it feels super natural. And really chill. I've always like loved adventure. And I think we grew up where like travel was a big part of our life and like getting used to new places was a big part of our lives as a family. So that became really normal. But then when you're like, oh, I literally have no home base. Like right, there's nowhere where there's my stuff. Yeah. There's times where it just gets like a little taxing and you're just kind of like, oh, this is what they mean by like creating routines that don't deplete you and you don't burn out, that aren't just like going home and like watching TV or cuddling.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing.
I guess you also mean like, I wish I was more nomadic, but I feel like I have too many things. And I feel like you have to really whittle it down. Like, did you have to do that?
Me too. Oh my gosh. Yes. I mean, technically all my stuff is still in storage. So like I whittled, but then I put the rest in storage.
Yeah.
But it is very much like you really come to realize you're like, oh, I can really make do most of the time with like a suitcase worth of stuff.
Right. And yeah.
Everything else is like sentimental or extra.
Yeah. I hold on to too much shit. I wish I wasn't like that, but I am. And I've always been that way. And I need to just like kind of try harder maybe to not put so much emotional weight into like inanimate objects.
Yeah.
But it's hard for me. It's hard.
I mean, there's something like really beautiful about that at the same time, you know? Like to me, I'm like, you honor and you have reverence for the things around you. But I feel that.
I like the way that sounds. Thank you for saying that.
You're welcome. You know, as long as like it doesn't border a problem to me, and even if it does, like choose your problems sometimes, like which to each their own. But like I relate to that at the same time because like growing up, we saved everything. Mm-hmm. Like, and then my mom would be like, see, aren't you glad we saved that? Because now we can pull it out for this diorama of like a pond for your class. So funny. It was like one of those things where you're like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Useful.
Yeah, I took a little too far. But I'm glad that you relate to that because sometimes I'm trying to travel more by myself. I'm trying to be more nomadic. And so sometimes it's nice to hear that someone else, it's not just like you're going like backpack on your shoulder and just like so comfortable with it. You know what I mean? Like it's a process. It's not that easy for everybody.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And wait, when you're like trying to be nomadic, where are you going or what are you thinking or how are you handling that?
I mean, I'm just more like, for me, it's really hard to move. We moved around a lot when I was a kid, but I wish I was someone that could just like move to Portland, like without overthinking it too much, or like move to New York. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I haven't done a lot of things because I get really stressed about the things I have and like what to do with them. And then I spiral out and nothing happens. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
I wish I was just a little bit more like, I don't know, not as constricted by my own self.
Yeah. No, I feel that 100%.
Yeah.
Like, I relate to that hardcore. And then like also growing up, it was funny because like my brother was always like the kid who was like, where are we going? Mm-hmm. Who's coming? What are we doing? Like, let's go have fun. And I was always the kid who was like, can I go home now?
Yeah.
Can we go home? So like it's been, I've definitely had to push myself to get to the place where I'm like super comfortable just being like, okay, what are the routines? Yeah. And like, let's go. It's too comfy here and then moving. But
yeah,
it's definitely a process.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I like the idea of having somewhere always to go home to.
Yeah.
Like a little nest.
I like the idea of travel, but I need to have a home base. It stresses me out when I don't. It almost feels like I'm flailing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I need to know I can go somewhere and hide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like part of me wishes I can compact all of my things into like a Sprinter van and just like live that way. But another part of me just like, I can just buy a van and have that as well, like, add to my things. So it's like two sides of who I want to be, because it is nice having like a little nest to go back to and to like, I don't know, having a safe space that does like, because you said like it's weird not having a home base or a place that feels like home.
Yeah.
You know, like there's, so there's like pros and cons, I guess.
Yeah. Because like, I think like there is something to like getting to recharge where you're like, this is literally my space. Like I don't have to put any walls up or perform or anything. Like this is it. Where I found like there's times like if I'm in an Airbnb or a friend's house or my parents' house, it's like, well, none of this brings.
Yeah, it's not completely like, what's the word? It's not completely like, not authentic, but the you by yourself is always going to be different.
Yeah.
Than the you with others or in a new place.
Does yeah. that make sense? Yeah. Yep, for sure.
Yeah.
Yep. And then nature becomes the thing.
Yeah. Let's refocus. We're talking about traveling the whole episode. So, what was your like childhood like what were you interested in, what did you want to do like when you grew up, if there was an idea like that, like what was it like?
So my childhood, like it was mostly the four of us, like my parents and my brother and I. My family's from Mexico, so like all of my family's over there other than us pretty much, so it was like very close knit. And then like my grandma would spend like 6 months out of the year with us. So growing up, like definitely like child of immigrants, but my parents were always like, what's your dream? Like, what's your passion? Follow that. And I feel really lucky that that was the case.
Yeah.
And like, so growing up, like definitely at one point wanted to be an astronaut, definitely wanted to be a lawyer for a long time. And then we moved to Minnesota and I saw my first play ever. And it was Pippi Longstockings.
Ooh.
And there was like so much magic. There was a ship and there was like the smoke fog and stuff like that. And I was like, what the heck is this? And then from then on, I was just like, how do I do that? Can I do that? And my parents are like, we don't really know how to get you to do that. But sure, we'll research. And like, I remember I went to K through 12 Catholic school, like in the inner city of St. Paul. So at one point we didn't have like a playground for a while. Like that's how like, bad it was. There was a crack house on the corner that got raided all the time. And we just knew. And like, so it was like a very strange like environment. But one of the things they did well was theater. And they were like, oh, we're doing Fiddler on the Roof. And we'll probably cast some of the grade schoolers as like the youngest daughters. And I overheard it. And I literally looked up the director in the school directory and called him and was like, I have to audition.
Wow.
Like, you have to let me audition.
How old were you?
I think I was 10.
That's adorable.
That's so nice.
Yeah, and like, he was like, I saved that for a long time, is like this random 10-year-old being like, hi, I heard you speaking about auditions, and I must audition X, Y, and Z, Y.
He's like, where are your parents?
Yeah. Yeah. And my mom was like, if this is what she wants to do, let's try it.
Yeah.
That's so nice. Your parents are so like, that's nice that they were like, yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll Google it.
Right. That's very much like what they did. And like, luckily, I also had this choir director at that school where she was like, she gets really into this music. Like, she's like out there having like a whole act play, like 3-act play over in the corner. Let me link you with someone who like runs a choir program in the city. And like, and then I just got very, very lucky where, like, we worked it out through scholarships or bartering. And so that's how my parents, like, made it work. And they were like, if you can tell her anything that's helpful for this, like,
oh, that's nice.
Please do.
Yeah. That's so supportive. I love that. I think that kind of environment is really, like, nurturing. And there's not, like, there's nothing else there to, like, hinder you to be like, this is what I want to do. And they're like, yeah, okay. That's it. There's no other conversation.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, the, you know, it's like the only conversations were like whether or not we could afford it or could do it, because there were two kids and dad was working all the time and my mom would work under, like, do stuff too. So we had to, like, work around schedules, but literally, and, like, what's literally possible. But they were like, cool, if you want to do it, let's figure it out.
Yeah.
So it was nice. And same.
Did the theater program kind of, like, balance out the Catholic schoolness of it all and, like, everything else? Like, what was that like?
Oh my gosh. There's so many feelings on that. It was like, yes and no. Like, it was such a weird. So I feel like, obviously, Catholic Church, grew up Catholic. There's a lot of problems with it, though. Example to, like, it just, like, there was probably embezzlement happening at the school. So it was, like, already kind of strange. Like, it was Catholic and super conservative, but then you're like, everybody knew things were happening.
Right.
And then there were multiple teen pregnancies and nobody would talk about it. So it was, like, it was a complicated vibe already.
Yeah.
And, like, the theater definitely balanced it out and, like, was much more healthy even. Like, because everybody was just having open conversations and there was, like, rules and ground rules.
You're allowed to express yourself.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then it's, like, if you have an outburst of emotion, like, director's like, cool, not the place or time, but let's go talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
After rehearsal.
Let's use that later. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So. It felt much more balanced and communal and, like, family oriented in a way that was, like, super accepting that maybe not the rest of the school was, but it was very hypocritical at times, but as it goes.
I'm glad you had the theater.
Me too. Me too. Definitely helped a lot.
Wow. That's pretty, like, Catholic schools are any sort of, like, Catholicism is so key. They love to hide their shit, man.
They so do.
It's secrets on secrets on secrets with them.
Yeah. And I'm like, y'all, you know, this would run so much better if we just didn't hide shit and then held people accountable.
Right. Yeah, just took care of it.
But it's not about religion. It's about money, right? It's never really about God, in my opinion. I just think it's, like, it's not that simple sometimes. If it was that pure, it wouldn't feel so icky. I don't know if that makes sense. I think, like, money ruins everything.
Yeah.
Money ruins everything. It's so fun.
Yeah. Let's take our first little break before I forget.
Cool.
And we'll be right back with Maria.
Yay.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
The Home Depot wants every mom to have their own outdoor oasis this Mother's Day. Whether that be a new space to relax or a beautiful garden upgrade, at The Home Depot, you can give mom a gift that's as unique as she is, with a stylish and comfortable place to entertain or relax for the mom who does it all. And with convenient delivery, you won't have to stress over getting it to her either. Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers for the mom who's great with gardening? Let mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens with The Home Depot's Mother's Day Savings Event happening now. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97, for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Start your Mother's Day shopping and saving today by checking out The Home Depot's extensive selection online at homedepot.com or directly in-store near you with convenient pickup and delivery options. See homedepot.com/delivery for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
And we're back with Maria. I'm so delirious. Okay, where were we? We got up until, was that high? No, that was junior high that you were at the Catholic school?
Yeah, I was in junior high. I moved schools when I was in eighth grade to like suburbia for 2 years before I went to an art school back into the inner city.
Oh. How was the art school experience?
So crazy, so fun.
Yeah.
Like basically it's kind of what you see in movies a little bit where it's like, you know, we only had one dance a year. And like the dancers throughout the like the course of the year, we would pick up from them like different dances. So we'd learn swing, we'd learn like a Fosse dance, we learned single ladies. And then like at this dance, we would all as like a group dance it. The entire school, basically.
That's fun.
So it was like really fun. And it was a baby charter school. Like while I was there, it had its first like graduating class.
Oh, cool.
But sometimes that's better, right?
It can be. Like the academics were shit. Like, I mean, there were some really great teachers and they were wonderful and they taught a lot and they were like held us to a standard, which was really cool. And also what I loved about that was actually even the academic teachers had something like creative or artistic going on, whether as a hobby or like a secondary career. And so when there were people who were like, oh, I learned differently, can I like walk around or can I draw while we work or while you talk, they'd be like, yeah, as long as you're paying attention and you can prove it, that's cool. You can go stretch in the back corner. Like, it was really cool and it was really lovely. And then like our arts teachers were working professionals in the Twin Cities.
Wow, that's so cool.
It was very, very cool. And like some of the coolest pieces sometimes came from my high school, like of just like creating new work or devised theater. And we'd all like be working in the Twin Cities at the same time. So we'd like go to rehearsals and sometimes we were in rehearsals together. So we'd take the city bus to like rehearsal from school. So it was like very independent. It was at that point to where we moved, it would take like me an hour on the bus to like get from school to home. So I'd usually like get home pretty late or have to be picked up from rehearsals and stuff like that. But it was pretty fun. And like, it was very much to each their own, as you figured it out. But we were all like super close knit within our individual groups and then like as a larger school.
Is that where you ended up graduating high school?
Yeah.
So what was that like? I mean, I hate like the idea we have to plan our future so young. But like, how do they prepare you for that? Like post high school and art school?
It's kind of the same. It's kind of different. Like they're like, whoever's going the college route, like come chat with me. Like, let's figure this out. I'll be your guidance counselor. We'll talk through it. And then there's people where, well, a lot of us still like, even if we were going the college route, there was also like the BFA route. So the bachelor's in fine arts route. So that's like for the dance programs, the acting programs, the music programs. And so we would also prep for that.
So where did you fall then in all of, like, what was your plan?
I did both. So I didn't know what I wanted to do. Like my brother works in politics. And he like graduated like one of the top in his class and like did all accelerated APs. And we did, while my parents were very much like championing our passions, they were also highly aware that like they believed that education was the way that we were going to figure it out or be able to make it in the U.S. So they were like, do well in school so you can get a scholarship.
Yeah.
So then you can be okay in like the real world. And so I had like a highly academic sibling and achieved that route super well. Did like almost got a complete full ride. And so it was like, oh, that's a route I can take. And that's a route I'm familiar with. And so there was a part of me that's like, do I do the regular good old college route? Or do I do a bachelor's in fine arts for acting or musical theater? And so I did both. Like I auditioned and submitted. So it was like a crazy number of schools. Like I think I did like 10, I submitted to 10 schools.
Wow.
To be able to do like the version that's like all just mostly focused on auditions and your artistic statement, and the other version that's like academics and your Common App essay and all of that. It was an interesting split, and it came down to a BFA and a BA for the two final schools before, like that I had to choose from. And then ultimately I went the like non-specialized route, just because of scholarships and what they were able to offer.
Yeah. What did you end up studying then?
I studied theater. I focused in theater. And then I also studied human rights and music while I was at school. Yeah.
That's cool. It's cool to have like a eclectic, I don't know, like things that you can do. Like you're, not that it matters. I feel like no one looks at resumes anymore, but like I minored in art history and I kind of like that, you know, because I still have like information that I really like in my head about that stuff. So yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I love learning new information.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun. Like it was fun in that way. Like it was very hard at the same time, like with the different classes I was taking. And then like, for me, there were a bunch of generals. So I was like constantly like immersed in that, like kind of like, you got to be a Renaissance human. So that was intense, but also like really lovely at the same time, where I'm like, now I have random human like history information that I can pull.
I think it's cool. I think it's cool. How was it like post college? I mean, it's usually hell.
I don't. Before we skip to post college, can we talk about college? Like what it was like moving from Minnesota to. I mean, you and did you? I don't know. I don't think you said this. You went to Columbia.
No. Yeah, I went to Columbia in the city of New York. So that was a huge move.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very different. Like, I came from a much slower pace life. It is Minnesota nice, but it's also very passive aggressive in some ways. And because Minnesota has like a lot of really great opportunities within the state, like they fund the arts a lot, which is why I was able to do arts while I was there and my parents could help me figure it out. They also have some great universities of their own. So like a lot of people stay there like their whole life and then just like continue raising their families in Minnesota. So it's very insular at the same time. So I was like excited to be in a completely different environment where it was like diverse again versus like, you know, I'm a light-skinned, like white Latina. And like in Minnesota, they're like, you're olive. What?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, compared to your lovely Norwegian selves, of course. But it was like very interesting. And like Minnesota is diverse in its own way, but it's very, very pocketed. Like, so you have your like white community, your black community, then your immigrant, your different immigrant communities that stay within themselves. So going to New York, where it's like just kind of a hodgepodge, everybody's a mix, and then everybody's like very straightforward. That was really different and refreshing and awesome. And then at the same time, like going to Columbia, you're faced with like the shock of like wealth, privilege, and like intelligence, where it's like, oh, you all went to amazing schools, or like a good portion went to amazing schools, like can crank out papers like nobody's business. And like, I had like a prince living on my floor for the first 3 days before he was like, fuck this. I'm going to go be in a penthouse downtown. And you're like, what? Like that's available? Or like people who would be like, yeah, I'm going to like, hire someone to come do my laundry, clean my dorm. And you're like, what do you mean you're hiring someone?
Yeah.
Like, so it was like definitely a culture shock in a different way. That was both like liberating and very strange and like struggling to figure out how I fit in personally in that. Yeah. So I feel like that was the initial. And then like slowly I found my people, which like in my first episode, I talk about some of the people who kept me in New York and kept me in school, which were like the workers at Columbia and like the mailroom workers. And they like basically were like, you don't have to be like perfect. And like, what is it that you want? And who are you versus like trying to prove myself and that kind of thing. It's like, just who are you now? And like, how do we figure this out so that you feel like this is something you can do or what you do if you decide this isn't what you want.
Did you want to go home? Like, were there times where you were like, I don't want to do this anymore?
Yeah, for sure. I think there was a good amount of times where I was like, I'm not cut out for this.
Yeah.
Like, I shouldn't be here. And then there were times where I was like, I don't want to be here. Like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, and if I wasn't going home, like, I there was a part of me that just wanted to be out of that place at the same time, too. Like, and I think that was, like, conversations I had with my brother, and he was like, well, if you leave, where are you going? Right. And, like, what does that look like? Because if you leave Columbia University, too, it's like you're leaving an Ivy League for what? Mm-hmm. Like, you're leaving a scholarship at an Ivy League for what? And, like, it was really interesting to think about. But there were times where it was, like, it wasn't just, like, I want to go home, or it wasn't I want to go home. It was I don't want to be here. I don't think I fully knew what it would look like being out in the world.
Yeah. What was their theater program like?
Super academic focused. So I learned a lot about theater history.
Okay.
And theory, like theater theory, and like read a lot of plays. I learned a lot about global theater, but like from mostly a book base, and like you weren't allowed to take really more than one acting class a semester.
That seems weird.
I know. It's crazy. They're like, come study at us. Study with us, but then we're not going to give you as much freedom. So it was like one acting class a semester, and then you were required to take directing and design, which was awesome for me because I ended up realizing like I love that too. So now I like produce, I set design, and I direct. So that was kind of the beginning of that. And like there was one class in particular where I was like, this is awesome, which it was like called collaboration. And we were forced to put something new up every week. So every week we had to have like the skeleton of a scenic design, the skeleton of a costume design, directing done, all of like sound design as well. And so it taught you to create quickly and just trust your instincts and push the boundaries, which I think that was super helpful. And there were certain acting classes I loved. And while I appreciate the history and the context as well, it just wasn't focused on the actual practical parts.
It wasn't hands-on.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think prepping you with the weekly like collaboration thing is so like vital because it feels like – it almost sounds like working on Saturday Night Live, I feel like the crew there or even the writers there, like they're used to just like not second guessing themselves and just like going back to back. I feel like it, like if you can do that, you can kind of do a lot of things, you know?
Yeah, totally. And like it's true about set even at times, right? It's like sometimes you're called in last minute. Someone else booked something else. So now you're being called in or like, like in COVID times, it's like that could change whenever. And then like, oh, here's these new lines we taught, like we just rewrote, like learn them, you're on set in 10, figure it out.
Right.
So it definitely takes a lot of the second guessing out, which was helpful. And also fun. Like I think like that was something I learned to embrace is like it can be really fun to like not have to think about it and to just try something.
Yeah, I agree. It's just like not taking it seriously enough and not kind of just trusting yourself. And then if it is embarrassing, you're able to let it go easier because there's something else coming up. You know what I mean? It's like, right. That's how I think about it. I think that's a good practice.
Yeah. And I think like it was nice to... Like, I always love those opportunities and, like, incubator or class settings, because it's like, okay, then you get to fail not so publicly and hopefully not as many consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then like learn from that to then build for like when you actually have to do it in the professional world.
Yeah.
Right. Pretty wild.
Yeah.
It's also wild. I don't know. I mean, like I barely remember my college experience anymore. It's been like 10 years now.
Don't say that. Oh my God. No.
I don't know.
I mean, I personally think for me, college was not worth the money because I think I would have gotten... I think the most beneficial thing that I got was moving away from home.
Yeah.
Like, I chose the furthest college from my house because I needed to leave my... Like, I just needed to, like, experience life on my own.
Yeah.
But I don't think that is worth, like, thousands and thousands of dollars because I did film studies and similar to Columbia, it's all academic. Like, I never touched a camera. Like, we didn't have any hands-on things. It was just, like, watching movies and writing about them. And I guess that's fun for, like, a semester or two, but... It didn't give me any real experience. Like, I learned more as a PA in LA my first day than I did in my whole college experience when it came to film. So part of me thinks college is a little useless, but...
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's gotten to that point where sometimes it's like, okay, what is this for? Like, if you're going into academia, like, sure, great. But if you're, like, going into something that's practical or more hands-on, it's, like, if schools are not able to adapt to that, like, there's no reason for a student to go. Like you, I learned more outside of the classroom than I did inside. Like, I actually, like, I was, like, I know there's programs. Like, I know there's summer programs. So I did, like, Williamstown Theater Festival. I did one of your leasts. Theater company where like I went abroad. I also did like a music program in Croatia and I learned so much more about creation and then also like connections and the name of the game of that way that more than I'd ever learned at school or even about headshots and resumes.
Yeah.
Like that was specifically thanks to like the experience I had outside of school.
Right. What those abroad programs sound cool. What were they like?
Yeah, they were amazing. I really value being in more than one place, like being in other places. Like, and I tend to, when I travel, I like to be there for like more than 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So I love programs because they connect you with like the culture, the people, the community, and then you get to learn a lot. And so like 1 year lease theater program they have a summer program that's attached to their actual company, which is a Brooklyn-based company, and they do incredible physical theater and beautiful, beautiful storytelling. And so they take their apprentices along with their company members to the mountains in Greece. So you're like away from everything. It's in a tiny town. You walk 30 minutes through the mountain to get to the rehearsal space, which is outdoors for the most part. And then you like train like in different physical theater styles. And then you devise a lot. So like every day we were turning out different kinds of pieces, whether it was like 2 minute vignettes to like a full length, like 30 to an hour mini production. And then culminating in a larger experience for the community there that we then toured around the region in Greece.
Wow.
And so I also like picked up, like we had to learn Greek to perform. So that was really cool. And that was like very hands-on. And then we got to like work with the professional company. So that was like happening when I was a sophomore in college. And so that was really cool to be like, oh, these are working actors.
Right. This is what it can look like in the real world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And this is like also they can do all of this commercial work or traditional American style work and then also get to feed their creative, like crazy soul part of themselves that wants to push the boundaries a little more.
Mm-hmm.
And so like getting to learn their devising process and see them at work was also really fruitful in that moment as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad that you sought out those experiences because, I think sometimes you just need it's funny because you can't just get everything out of college. You know what I mean? Like, it's still a very insular, like, baby town in a way. You know what I mean? They're still kind of holding your hand. And I personally think, like, asking a teenager to be like, what do you want to do with the rest of your life is kind of silly. I feel like now, or even like a few years ago, like, I was ready to study. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
right.
I feel like they should delay the whole thing because you just end up flailing. And sometimes it's a good thing you can figure it out and like have experiences. But I think, I don't know. I don't know if I'm getting what I'm getting at, if that makes sense. But
yeah, that does make sense. And I think like something that sparked for me hearing you say that is like, also, I wonder if like college, there's like a hybrid portion where it's like, maybe you try a million different things without consequences. Like,
yeah.
I wish there wasn't consequences if I decided to change my major,
or same.
If I didn't know what my major was, but I could try like 12 different subjects. So I could be like, okay, nope, yes, nope.
Yeah.
What is this? Because I felt like that's also not an option. Mm-hmm. And definitely, like, being at school, I was like, oh, I wish I'd taken a gap year. Like, I wish that had been okay.
I wish I did too. One of my friends, like, after high school, he just, like, traveled the world for a year. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he just, like, knew it was too early for him to, like, figure stuff out. And I think that mentality should be encouraged with young people, because I just think it's too much too soon. Like, your brain is literally not developed all the way. And you're asking me to make huge decisions.
Yeah. I think, like, I was always perceived as someone who knew what they wanted. But there were times where I'm like, had somebody given me an option, maybe like this would have turned out differently. Like, you know, because you're like a kid and you're like, is this really what I want to do? And so, like, I think for anyone it's beneficial. Even now, having gone through like all the different routes, or like gotten to try on all these different hats and travel the world, I'm like, I'm so much more grounded in my artistry and in my choices as a creative person because of all of that experience.
Yeah. And that's only with becoming older and aging and like learning more about yourself and whatever. And I don't know. I mean, there are so many wrong things about this country and this world. Like, the education system is obviously one of them. But not to be like, capitalism is the problem of everything, but it is like churning you out. It's like a system to just like churn out more people and suck the money out of them and just like, I don't know. Yeah. It's
sad.
Yeah, it is sad.
It's sad. As a victim of capitalism, I will say it's sad.
We're all victims. It's not fun. It's not fun. Let's take our last break before I forget. BRB, don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal, and may lose value.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
The Home Depot wants every mom to have their own outdoor oasis this Mother's Day. Whether that be a new space to relax or a beautiful garden upgrade, at The Home Depot, you can give mom a gift that's as unique as she is, with a stylish and comfortable place to entertain or relax for the mom who does it all. And with convenient delivery, you won't have to stress over getting it to her either. Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers for the mom who's great with gardening? Let mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to
Bring out the most in our patios, walkways, and gardens with the Home Depot's Mother's Day Savings Event happening now. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Start your Mother's Day shopping and saving today by checking out the Home Depot's extensive selection online at HomeDepot.com or directly in-store near you with convenient pickup and delivery options. See HomeDepot.com/delivery for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Welcome back to the pod.
We're back.
We want to know about your podcast. I want to know about your podcast. Anna probably knows all about it. Well, I want to know how you heard about Next Step, and coming from someone that is like a performer, what made you interested in podcasting?
Oh, okay. So one, yes, I am a performer. Two, I'm also like an educator and tutor. So I like work with inner city kids in Chicago through my own program and also like tutor in New York. And then I also come from like a very open and generous family in terms of conversation. So like during the pandemic, I just like, my dad is a scientist. He's a microbiologist and he works with the CDC. So like while he's not a virologist, he has like virologists in his lab and then understands it way better than like myself and the average person. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm like, what? So he, and then my brother who works in politics, right? Like they both, like it was the perfect crazy storm of like science and like political activism that was happening on in the world. And I like have a lot of friends who would be like, Maria, like, what does your family say? And so I just started doing these like little talks with them on Instagram and just was like, cool, today we're talking to my dad. These are the questions that I've like gathered from people. And I'm just gonna like prompt you to keep doing more. And so it had been on my mind with that. And also I just love audio. Like I love sound. Sound is so cool and fucking incredible. Like, love it. And so like all of that kind of led to like this idea of like, what if I started exploring the podcast world? But I was like, I don't know what that is at all. And my friend who is amazing and champions all his friends all the time, Jenna Weinstein, he was like, I saw this. You have to apply. Like that thing you were talking about, here it is.
This is it.
This is it. Yeah. And so I had already like had these two kind of ideas brewing. And it was funny because like as I was like filling out the application and I was like, oh, do I really want to do this? I like, When You're Invisible was already the name of the podcast for this one. Like it was like done. Like my heart knew this was it.
Yeah, that's true. You did pitch it as that.
Yeah, I did.
What can you explain that to me? I'm someone that knows nothing about what you're talking about. I'm a newbie. What was your idea and what was that title from?
Yeah, so When You're Invisible is my love letter to the working class and folks who have been othered in society. And When You're Invisible was like the title of the podcast that I just like knew from the beginning that I wanted or that stuck because it was like when other people don't see you. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you privy to? How are you perceived? How do you feel in the world? And then, like, also, like, what are your, like, an everyday, every person's thoughts and feelings about what's going on, about their life? And also, like, the unsung heroes of our society and our communities, where it's like, dude, without you, like, without the guys at the Package Center, I would totally have dropped out of school. Mm-hmm. I totally would have dropped out of school without a plan. And like, I'm still grateful I made it through. So like having these, like seeing people and being a part of communities that are sometimes erased, like growing up in like the early 2000s where being Mexican was kind of still equated to being a beaner and a wetback and undocumented and that was a bad thing. And that was like, you were lazy. Those kinds of stereotypes, like being like, oh, no one understands where I'm coming from. And then also being kind of an outsider within that within like my own community, because like I didn't learn Spanglish till I was in New York because I learned Spanish and English separate. And also because like I am still light skinned. I like my parents, my dad is a microbiologist. So we we were in different circles, but we didn't come from money. So it was like a lot of different complex layers, and having my mom, who wasn't allowed to work for a long time. So like did odds and ends jobs to and worked under the table to make ends meet. So I had like the extremes of like highly educated and respected in like an intellectual community, and then like someone who's cleaning houses and cooking meals.
Yeah.
And so getting that view, and then also like coming in and out of different communities, I think for me was like, there's so many people who are incredible and who don't get their stories told, that it felt like super important to me, because I wouldn't be who I am without everyone, literally everyone who has ever helped me, whether it's like out of just like a kind gesture or advice or, you know, making sure I got to place it in time.
Yeah.
And just being like, there's so many people who like don't see themselves in the world reflected at all.
Yeah. I think it's really powerful. I love the intention behind that, because when you're invisible, like you already, there's already an idea in your head. Like it's already, I know who you're talking about. You know what I mean? Because they're ignored. They're on the margins of society, like literally and like figuratively, like at a restaurant or whatever, or like anything. It's, I don't know. It's,
Yeah. And like, that's the thing is like when you're a creative as well, like, like you work so many odd jobs if you need to work. So like I definitely was a waiter. I was a receptionist. I was a reservationist. I like nanny, babysitter, tutor, like everything possible. Like I've kind of like run the gambit through. And so it was also like, wow, I've been in all of these, like all of these different kinds of positions, and yet in a place of privilege that I can leave if I need to. And knowing people who can't. And then seeing people who are like, doesn't matter who, it doesn't matter if it's another human being in front of them, like it's like an object. And that was like really disorienting to me too. And then, and then also the idea of like, sometimes we're in this echo chamber of like, we don't have the patience because of XYZ reasons. So we're not willing to sit in conversation with someone who comes from a different background than ourselves.
Yeah.
So that was like the impetus for all of that. And that's like what the podcast is like, we start off talking to people who like were in my community directly, who helped me, who like, like blue collar workers at an Ivy League institution.
Yeah.
Like they weren't often seen.
Yeah.
And there was like a group who did see them. But like, I didn't know who they were. It was very particular. And then like expanding into like folks who work like in the homes of like very wealthy people in New York City, and what that's like, because that's a huge industry, like the household industry in New York, ginormous.
Really?
And like, there's no contract when you walk in the room. There's no one else in the room. Right. There's no HR.
There's no HR. Yeah. There's no one to like protect you from these maniacs.
Literally. Yeah. And it's like, there are some sweet people, but then there are really crazy maniacs. And then there's shades in between. And like, all of that complexity, and like you hear some of the stories, but you don't hear like the different kinds. So there's that. And then like, then undocumented workers. Like I have an episode with the Ground Zero cleanup crew workers and what their experience has been and what their life is like. And then it's like really bizarre and random of like, I talked to a woman who stutters because only 1% of the entire global population stutters. And like, it's a 2-to-1 ratio, 2 men to every 1 woman. So like a woman who stutters is fairly rare comparatively. And talking about like what it's like when, you know, when you talk and people don't have the patience or think you're dumb or don't know how to interact with you because they're not used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I love that. You're really giving a voice to people that need of like, I don't know, they should be heard.
Yeah. And like, it's crazy because I also sit down with like my friend Lonnie, who is biracial, grew up half Korean, half white, and like grew up with like grandparents who are white Baptist Southern missionaries, and like that whole experience, and like who she is now, and her work with like, she has experience in sex work, and all of the things that have informed her. And then like, I even sit down, my brother married a woman, a white woman from like rural working class Eastern American, like Eastern America. And it was, I get to sit down with her sister and it's our like first in-depth conversation.
Wow.
Talking about like, hey, I don't know what your world is at all. And like, you know, mainstream media like tells me you're a Trumpist. Like, what, who are you? Like, tell me who you are. And she's like actually very sweet and like not a Trump supporter at all. But, you know, like it like even exploring my own bias for things that I might not understand. So it's like, if I'm asking the audience to listen to stories, like how am I also approaching the story and how am I leading with my own integrity and honesty of like, this is where I'm at in this process, or like, this is how I came in into this conversation of whether or not I was able to hear you right away.
Yeah.
And go from there.
I like that.
That's nice. It's nice to hear how you've expanded the show outside of what we worked on Next Up. So I'm excited to listen to it. And it's out now.
Yeah.
You can go listen to it when you're invisible. It's available on all podcast platforms. It's on the iHeart Network. It's available on all platforms. Wherever you get your podcasts, you can listen to When You're Invisible.
Yeah. The iHeart and My Cultura podcast network production.
Yeah.
Yes, My Cultura took this show on.
That's so exciting.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Where did the inspiration for the show art come from, the logo?
Oh, so I love this. There's a piece by this artist named Jesse Mahone who has like braids in the image, and she is like does really cool color pencil work. So that was part of the inspiration. And then since we couldn't afford her, we like tried something a little different, but the idea of like, you don't really see a face and like out in the world. And just like, I personally grew up like wearing braids, like wearing trenzas. So it's like an homage to my roots and my culture, while also like being like, yep, we don't always see the person's face, and there's a story behind every person.
Yeah.
So just like allowing the stories to lead.
I love that. I love the show. I love your like the egolessness behind your show, if that makes sense. Like, it's just like you're truly willing to learn and be humbled, and I think that's so important because I feel like it's rare for a podcast host to like kind of like, okay, I'm going to take a back seat. Can you tell me things? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what you're saying. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that dialogue is really important.
Yeah. And I love it too, because I'm like, it's such a relief to be like, yeah, I don't know everything.
Yeah.
Why am I trying to imagine something I don't understand?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I'm excited for people to see your podcast, and y'all should, When You're Invisible. As Anna said, it's out now. Go listen to it. Where can they find it on the internet if there are any handles for it? And like, where can they find you if you want them to follow you?
Totally. So the podcast has an IG. It's When You're Invisible Podcast. And then my social media handle is obnoxious. So stick on, like, hold on for this little ride. It's my nickname in Spanish, which is Marifer. So it's Marifer underscore my last name, Diez, so Diez, underscore B, which is an homage to my mom's last name, which in Latin culture, you would say your whole name. But in the U.S., I like, my parents didn't keep the second name. So on my social medias and stuff like that, I'll usually
I like
tack
that.
On a little
not obnoxious.
To it.
Don't tell yourself that. That's not chill. Be nice to yourself. It's not obnoxious.
Yeah.
Not everyone can have like a 3-letter handle, okay?
That's true. That's true. It's like, but yeah. So those are the two. I usually will post something either on my personal social media or also on the podcast. And those are the main ways. I'm also on TikTok, but I'm still figuring that out.
We're still growing on that front. Yeah.
We're all still trying to figure out TikTok.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you so much for joining us. I loved this conversation. And I'm so excited for your future.
Thank you.
And who you bring to people's attention and the conversations that can have, like, that can start.
Yeah, thanks. I'm really excited for everyone to hear it. I'm so interested in what people say. And also, this is one of the ways I hope to grow with this podcast is if anyone has someone they think I should interview, you can reach out via social media.
Yeah, please do, everybody. If you guys have an idea, I think, or someone that you have in mind, I feel like we can all, at least for me, I thought of the people that have come in and out of my life that have helped me that like wasn't expected. Mm-hmm. Like literally there is I worked in production for a long time for this one company in particular, and we had to park in this parking lot right outside in West Hollywood. And it was like not a great area, but the parking attendant was the sweetest man I have ever met in my life. I still think about him, and he had no reason to like treat me so kindly or whatever, but like we had conversations. He like gave me presents one year because like he found out I was Syrian and he was Syrian, and like we had conversations, and it was just really beautiful. And if you just like realize that there are people standing in front of you sometimes that are whole people with the whole life and everything, it's just nice. So like I feel like everyone can think of people that have been, I don't know, treated in like a shitty way just simply because of like what they do or what they look like or who they are. And so it's a really important podcast. And I think, I mean, like even thinking about it, like I want to find him. I want to talk to him. You know what I mean? Yes. Like I want to know his story.
If you find him.
I mean, I've been kind of sad going back there because I don't want him to like not be alive anymore. I know that's morbid, but it's been like a couple of years and he was really old. And part of me does not want to face the reality that he might be not alive. Yeah. But I have thought about going back there a couple times.
Yeah.
Because he was just the sweetest man. And I think those people really like leave an impact on you.
Oh, totally. 1,000%. Like there was just like one of the cleaners at one of the restaurants I used to work for. He used to bring me candy like every day I worked. Just like would just get me a high chew he was at the bodega and just be like, here you go.
I love that.
And he was like the sweetest little man, you know, or like. Yeah, there's like, we all have stories like that, and we can all be those people to other people.
Exactly.
Which is what's like really cool and magical.
Yeah.
If you let it be.
Yeah. Wow. I feel inspired. Okay. I'm going to wrap us out of here. This is Ethnically Ambiguous, Ethnically Amb, AMB on Twitter, and Ethnically Ambig, AMBIG on Instagram. I am Shireen. Shireen. It's Shirohiro on Instagram and Shirohiro666 on Twitter.
And I'm at Inahosnia on Twitter, and I'm at SellingHosnia on Instagram.
And go listen to When You're Invisible. It's important stuff. And I hope you enjoy.
Thanks, y'all.
Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, look no further than the Marketing School podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast on Apple and number 15 on business in the United States. Now, if you want to listen to interesting conversations with operators that have been there, done that, also with other interesting guests, then listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.